Maybe this will be a bit of an unusual subject, but for Lord's Supper, I'm hoping that it will be a blessing to you. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, first five verses, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him. And they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. I told you recently that I've been reading a book on heaven by Randy Alcorn. What a wonderful subject to reflect upon. I would invite you to spend some time musing on heaven. And you may need some help. We have a tendency to be very earthbound in our thinking. And so you may need some encouragement. And there are those who have written some good things and have spoken some helpful things on heaven. I don't find myself wanting simply to escape this life to get there. But I sure delight in the prospects of what lies before me when I think about heaven. As I read some thoughts this past week, my mind landed upon the Lord's Supper. It was like a flash as I was reading these thoughts. Immediately I thought, there's a message for the Lord's Supper. So I thought it would be good for us to meditate briefly upon what the death of Christ has secured for every believer. So then as we partake of the elements tonight and think back upon our Savior's suffering, we can look forward and enter into the joy that His sufferings guarantee. His blood was shed and His life given to conquer every consequence of sin that has plagued humanity, including the world upon which humanity has existed. I read in Revelation 22 and verse 3, that phrase, which is not a new phrase, but maybe we need to think about it more deeply. And there shall be no more curse. Wow. I don't know why I'm getting goosebumps, but I am. You can't see that, so I thought I'd tell you. And there shall be no more curse. The New Jerusalem is described in chapter 21. It's described as coming down from God out of heaven. And then there's the talk about a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. But the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, there's a new heaven and a new earth. The city is described as descending into this new heaven and earth. And while there are other things about this city, the throne of God and of the Lamb are central. In chapter 21, verses 22 and 23, and I saw no temple therein. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Heaven descends. New Jerusalem descends. The new heaven and the new earth come together with heaven. The new heaven, meaning the sin-cursed atmosphere, the earth, the sin-cursed earth. It's all new. And heaven inhabits. Heaven participates with. Heaven comes down. The new Jerusalem. In chapter 22, and he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. That's central. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. Where the throne of God and the Lamb are central, fill up the habitation of this place. There is no place for the curse. It's gone. Heaven would not be heaven apart from the centrality of God and the Lamb. Heaven would not be heaven if sin of any sort could enter in. And so we read in chapter 21 and verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever works abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our present sin-cursed atmosphere in earth will one day be made new. It was perhaps this thought that led Pastor Maltby Babcock to write. Y'all know what he wrote? I didn't either before this last week. This is my Father's world. He was a pastor. And he wrote, "This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. The battle is not done. Jesus who died shall be satisfied. And earth and heaven be one." Earth and heaven be one. We often think about the destruction of earth. It's not so much that earth is going to be destroyed as earth is going to be renewed. If God destroyed the earth, then that would defeat the purpose for which He created the earth, which is to be inhabited by us. And so, Revelation 22:3, and there shall be no more curse. What a promise. What a hope. Because Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, in heaven now, came to earth and took upon Himself the curse of sin as He hung upon that tree, the hope of every believer since has been, there shall be no more curse. All of creation came under the curse of sin. In Genesis, we have the record of this. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17, our God reveals to us where it all began and what went wrong. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, He said to the first created man, who stood as a representative of all of the human race, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And he did eat of it. And dying, he died, as the original bears out here. Dying, he died. The death began. There was separation from God, spiritual death. And there was the beginning of the process of decay. Romans 5 and verse 12, for as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all had sinned. Why is there death? There's death because there's sin. And every time somebody, well really every time someone gets sick, it's a reminder of sin. Not necessarily the individual sin, but just sin that has messed this world up. Every time someone dies, it's a reminder of sin. If it were not for sin, there would be no death. The curse. But mankind is not the only one who came under the curse. Because of man, and for the sake of man, really we might say, all of creation fell under the curse. In chapter 3 and verse 14, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Now when he says above all cattle, that tells me that cattle also was cursed, or the beast, or the creatures. But the serpent was cursed. And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The land was cursed. Chapter 3, verse 17, and Adam said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow thou shalt eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. It does seem like certain portions of the earth were especially cursed with thorns and thistles, but all of the earth has experienced this curse of God. And then you have that summary passage in Romans chapter 8. And this is important because God tells us there shall be no more curse. But now we're living under that curse. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly. I'll tell you, humanity, every aspect of the curse that we see, whether it be in the living creatures, the animals of this world, or whether it be in the land that we inhabit, it needs to be a reminder to us of who we are and what we have done. By reason of Him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Did you hear that? The creatures, the creation, all of creation is going to participate in this redemption that has been promised in Christ. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. We're familiar with the curse. We live under the curse. The curse touches us every day of our lives. But the great hope that we as Christians have, and that we really, in a sense, celebrate tonight as we think of the death, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is that that curse is going to be done away with. There shall be no more curse. Jesus took the curse upon Himself so that God, in due time, can justly lift it and justly restore all things, all because of Jesus Christ. You remember the Apostle Paul spoke of the curse that Christ took when He died in Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs upon a tree. And then that familiar verse in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, where Scriptures tell us herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He, He swallowed the curse. He took upon Himself the curse. That's the wrath of God against our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul wrote that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. All things. This is bigger than just you and me. This is bigger than just humanity. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, all things. Reconciled all things, restored in Christ. What does this mean? Well, for all of us who are in Christ through faith, this means every negative effect of sin gone. No more struggles with sin, including temptations to sin, or the consequences of being overcome by sin, gone. I wrote last week in the bulletin, if you didn't read it, go back and read it if you still have the bulletin, but about, the title was something like, Forgiven, Now What? And we are forgiven our sin. The guilt has been removed. Eternal punishment has been pushed aside, swallowed up by Christ, and so we don't have to bear it, and so eternity is safe and secure. But here, now, in this life, we bear the consequences of our sinful actions, don't we? We continue to do so. We don't get away from that. We are still haunted. And sometimes in very deep ways, and the consequences are very real. And we suffer. We continue to suffer in this life because of previous choices of sin in our lives. And maybe present choices of sin in our lives. But all of that's gone. The curse is gone. No longer will you wake up and remember, oh yeah, I've got to still face that. Gone. Now, for some of us, that is a tremendous reality to look forward to. Gone. No more sorrow due to sin. And hasn't sin brought on its sorrows in our lives? No more sin, no more dealing with the consequences of the curse. The sorrows of life. Gone. No more pain due to the curse. It's gone. Remember that every time you face, and you will face the sorrows and the pains of the curse. But remember, every time it comes, like a storm into your life, and sometimes it seems the waters are rising so much you're going to drown under it. Remember, no more curse. That's the hope. For those who are in Christ through faith. No more inequities. No more injustice. Oh, that's helpful for those who are suffering such in this world in which we live, and there's plenty of that. No more of it. No need for police or any such authorities on this, in this new existence, this new heaven and new earth, in this city called the New Jerusalem. Totally safe. All is right. All is peaceful. All is perfect unity. I will not ever again have to wonder what you're thinking. Is he against me? Is she against me? What did I do wrong this time? You know, those kinds of relational things that we deal with. No more. That won't even be a thought. It won't be a possibility. And the pure, pure enjoyment of all that is, including every single relationship. I won't walk to the other side of the golden street to avoid you. Wow. Every single person I will have perfect harmony with, perfect unity with. No tensions. Not in heaven. No more curse. Imagine whatever may be wrong, or whatever may go wrong now. You just think about that, and when you leave tonight, and when you live your day tomorrow, and the next day, and you imagine things that might go wrong, remember, none of that will be in heaven, restored to perfection. For all who are in Christ through faith. Every negative effect of sin, gone. But this is also true for all of creation and will be part of our existence, all of creation, because we relate with all of creation, don't we? All of creation impacts us. And we impact it. And so all of creation, which presently groans under the burden of the curse, there will be redemption to perfection. The Garden of Eden restored times whatever improved. The new heaven and earth will be real. Why wouldn't it be? There's going to be tangible existence. Perhaps much like we presently know it. Maybe, just maybe, and I just suggest this, maybe we have done just a little too much spiritualizing of some of Scripture. Maybe some of the pictures that are painted by the prophets of the things that will be, the incredible plenteousness, as if there is nothing to stop the perfect production and the perfect symmetry of all that is, everything dwelling together in peace and harmony. Maybe that's more real than we have given thought to. Maybe that's not just a figure that's teaching a spiritual truth, though it may be that as well. Everything restored to the way God originally intended. And better, listen, if the promise is no more curse. That must include the ground and the animals, the land and the animals, because weren't they placed under the curse? And no more curse. No more thorns and thistles. No more imbalance of rain cycles. No more harmful pests. Sorry, Mark and Josiah, you won't have a job. Oh, you have a job, all right. We're going to serve. We will work. But no sweat. We're not going to be fighting the ground. Ground that refuses to grow. or the ground that gladly grows that which harms us? And losing battle with annoying weeds and stickers, and I won't have to spend $90 on a bag of whatever to get rid of whatever. None of that. We're not going to be at war with the land. We're not going to be at war with the creation. We're going to be dwelling together in perfect peace, harmony. No scorching sun. For God and the Lamb are the light. At least telling me that there'll be nothing. I won't burn. I don't have to worry about sunscreen. And all of the effects, cancerous effects of too much sun, or the imbalance of creation. All of it's going to be put in order. No more curse. Isaac Watts perhaps understood something of this when he wrote, "Joy to the World." Let heaven and nature sing. No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground. He comes to make His blessing flow far as the curse is found. Think about that. Think about that. Muse upon that. As you look out into this world in which we presently live, and much of it, it's amazing how much of it God has left in order and intact, that we can greatly enjoy and admire the beauty and the glory of it all. But what will it be? I can tell you this. His trees will never be used as crosses anymore. The things that He has made will not be bowed down to and worshipped. But the Maker will be the light. The Maker will be the glory in that day. And we'll see Him. And we'll dwell with Him. And all because Jesus died and rose again. And so as we look around at all the brokenness and disorder and imagine what will be when the final restoration comes, we can do so with great, deep, abiding confidence and hope because of Jesus Christ. And I even thought about our own temporary acts of restoration. You know how we do that? We restore things. You suppose that's at least maybe just a temporary expression? I mean, maybe that's something of the image of God in us where we restore things. I know that they corrode again and corrupt again, and I know that they, you know, we can sometimes even lives are on the edge of death and they're restored, and we experience tokens of that which will be in perfection forever, the removal of all of the impact of sin. Perhaps these things are precursors to that which will be in perfection when the resurrected Christ comes to bless His people and this earth with all that He has restored in His redemptive plan. So, as we partake of these elements tonight, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving and perhaps wonder as we muse upon the cost. You see, every hope that we have, "and there shall be no more curse," came with a cost, a price. But very high price. And may that humble our hearts and yet move us to rejoice at what His death and resurrection has purchased for sinners like you and me. And all to see Him. All to see Him with nothing preventing my view of Him. I mean, at 4:30 today, I had to sit in my office and ask God for help because I couldn't see Him. I couldn't see Christ. I just physically, mentally, I was dead. That's the way I felt. And I couldn't just, my spirit wasn't entering in. So what do I do? See, this is not a thing of flesh and blood. It's a thing of the Spirit of God. What do I do? What did I do? The same thing you should do. God, help me right now. I'm still affected. I'm still affected by the curse, fatigue, mind that sometimes just isn't sharp, improper focus, improper use of time, thoughts that want to go off onto other things. Don't we still suffer with those things? But what a blessing to pray. God is real. Christ is real. His Spirit is real. What a blessing to pray and to experience His help. Maybe you ought to do that right now. Let's bow our heads together. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we hear Your promise. And we want to be excited. We want to be filled with anticipation and hope. We want to be affected now. We want to be given reason to live. Reason to engage in the call that You've placed upon our lives. As we look upon the Savior tonight, would You help us, give us the encouragement we need of the Holy Spirit. And for a few moments here, we might be able to be overwhelmed in our minds and our affections as we consider the price that was paid by Your Son to bring such incredible hope to a sin-cursed world. So help us and bless us now, I pray in Jesus' name.